weeks of radiotherapy in St. Mary's. The doctor had said they would now wait a month and then do some scans to see if the treatment had been successful. "There's one tomorrow afternoon at 5-ish," he told her. "Iberia, from Gatwick to Barajas. Is that okay?" She had been privately wondering whether to make the journey by train and ferry. She told herself not to be silly. She knew it was silly, her fear of flying. The statistics spoke for themselves. "Yes," she said. "That's okay." She turned to face the living room again. Jamie was on the sofa, twisted sideways over the laptop, tapping at it. He had lived in this flat for decades, since his early 20s, all his adult life. There was something neurotic, she thought, about his unwillingness to move. He was in his 50s now, which was strange. She still thought of him as someone young. "Okay," he said, shutting the laptop. "That's sorted." And she thought how easy it was these days to do that, to acquire a plane ticket, to travel around. He insisted on accompanying her to the airport. They took the Gatwick Express, didn't speak much, and parted when she went through security. She was tearful, which wasn't like her. A minute later, in the snaking security queue, she turned, hoping to find him still there. He wasn't there, and she had the feeling, as if seeing the future, that he was going to die of his illness, that he would be dead within a year. She was still trembling with the force of the sensation as she struggled with the large plastic tub and took off her shoes. Once she was through security, she went straight into one of the fake pubs in the departure lounge for a Bloody Mary. She had a second Bloody Mary, and then, when her flight was announced, walked to the gate. It turned out to be a significant distance. When she arrived, there were a large number of people already queuing there, more, she thought, than the plane would be able to hold. She wondered if they would need volunteers to stay behind. They didn't. She was in a window seat. She looked out at the low sunlight on the gray tarmac. The plane started to move. Then it stopped. It seemed to be in some sort of queue itself. In regular sequence, the rumble of jets arrived faintly from somewhere she couldn't see. The tedium of all this had almost succeeded in sedating her when the pilot's voice, momentarily present in the cabin, muttered, "Prepare for takeoff." She felt the fear then, even through the vodka, surging up like the sound of the engines in a series of well-defined stages. First one kind of loudness, then another, as she was pressed into her seat and the safe world went past in the window. She never quite believed, at this point in the process, that the plane would take off. She always found herself thinking, surely it should have happened by now. Something must have gone wrong. And so it always took her by surprise. It was always somehow a profoundly surprising moment when the plane's nose lifted, when the plane pulled itself free of the earth, or the feeling was actually more like the earth was falling away. Sussex was already quite far down, a bluish patchwork of fields in the dusk. There was, from somewhere, a quiet ping. She did not know whether it soothed her or not, that ping. She wondered what it meant. Though it seemed to say that everything was happening normally, it probably meant nothing. She looked around, as if surprised that she was still alive, and for the first time she noticed the man in the seat next to her. He was sitting very still, with his hands knitted loosely in his lap, staring straight ahead. Perhaps he too was trying to master his fear. She was going to have to ask him to move at some point. As soon as the fasten seatbelt sign went off, she turned to him and said, "Excuse me." She pitched her voice nice and loud. It was surprising how loudly you had to speak to be heard over the noise. Sure enough, the man looked at her in momentary incomprehension, as if he had no idea what she wanted. "Excuse me," she said again. It was awkward, the way he had to move past the empty aisle seat to let her through. And she wondered, making the same move herself, why he didn't simply take the aisle seat, since there was no one there. They would both have more space that way. When he eventually sat down in the middle seat again, she found herself irritated by his obtuseness. She even wondered whether to suggest to him that he move, and a form of words came to her